Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
The government is set to overhaul the bike to work scheme and examine greater discount for regular public transport users in a bid to increase car-free journeys. Research reported in today's Irish Independent shows that Ireland has a year-round heavy car dependence and that cars are still used for short walkable journeys. For more on this, I'm joined by Professor Brian Caulfield, School of Engineering at Trinity College Dublin. Brian, good morning to you. It does really seem a bit of an oversight, doesn't it, that the bike to work scheme has only been available to employees until now?
It does a little bit, Philip. There's a couple of things about the current scheme that have kind of niggled for a number of years now. It's not just a new thing. One, that it's only available to people at work. And I know that the Students' Union in Trinity, and I think the Students' Union of Ireland, have kind of campaigned for a while that that be extended. It's only available to you every 4 years, which is reasonable if your bike isn't stolen. So that negates that. The other thing that kind of jars a little bit about it is that it doesn't allow for kind of trailers or kid seats or kid helmets either. So it doesn't get that next generational kind of, you know, cycling that we want to get in this country to reach our climate targets in there. So there's a number of things that need to be overhauled in it.
I do think that most of the bicycle shops tend to honour that more in the breach than the observance, don't they? They've been quite generous with the things that have been included on the invoice.
I've heard many stories of you know, what constitutes a cargo bike and what doesn't.
And so what do you think is going to happen? What shape might this take?
Well, there's a couple of ways in which they could look at it. One is that they could extend it to everybody and allow everybody to apply for it. The other thing that they could do is they could reduce the VAT on cycling, on bicycles, and the facilities that go with that too. So there's a number of ways in which they could look at doing it. But it is good to see that it's happening. However, you know, if we get all these extra bikes out onto the roads, and where are they going to park? What safe and secure infrastructure they're going to use, that becomes then the next issue.
And indeed, the size of cycle paths as well. I noticed that there is increasingly on cycling forums more women, young children, or people with young children complaining about male cyclists time trialing themselves on their way to and from work.
That is an issue, but then also some of the bikes are getting bigger as well, with the cargo bikes and the e-cargo bikes, and more kind of last mile deliveries using the facilities. The spaces tend to be quite squeezed into the side of a road where there are two cars going either side, in worst case, that they're sharing with a bus. So the space issue needs to also be considered, because just, you know, on budget day, putting in, you know, a couple of extra grants into cycling isn't going to fix it.
Now, talk to me about public transport fare reductions and what might be considered here, because there is already one, isn't it, 20% in place to deal as a response to the cost of living crisis?
Yes, and then it was even higher than for young adults. So that is something that they're looking at as well. It's something that's been looked at across Europe. The kind of research consensus on it shows that it does work, but I think we might be getting to kind of the upper limits of how much it could possibly work, and perhaps the money would be better spent on better infrastructure.
So are you saying that there really isn't that much of a price sensitivity, that people aren't, if they say get a good value, a good deal on a monthly or an annual travel card, aren't going to feel like, well, God, I should get my money's worth and actually use it more?
Most of the research shows that that's not the case. The other thing is, as well, is, you know, say professionals now that are working from home, so the monthly tickets are kind of a thing of the past, and that their patterns are a lot different. So changing the fare structure and tweakings around the edges, there's no doubt that the fare reductions of the €2 fare in Dublin have made a big difference. But and again, that's great, but we need more infrastructure. We haven't delivered light rail in Dublin in almost 7 years, let alone anywhere else in the country.
And I wonder, is there also, when there's, you know, poor public transport infrastructure and a dearth of new projects underway, could you end up jaundicing those people that you have encouraged to try and move to public transport if that they have a bad experience?
Yeah, that's something that could possibly happen. Also, if you make it free and people start to complain about it, you know, the easy retort is it's free, what you expect. I think, you know, I've heard values of almost half a billion euro a year it would cost to make public transport free in this country. That would be much better spent on building infrastructure, building light rail in Cork, building the lines we need in Dublin, building light rail in Galway, Limerick and Waterford as well, oversupply public transport. Then you'll find people will use it and want to pay for it.
Can we turn, Brian, briefly to road deaths, please? At present, fatalities are 18% higher today than they were this day last year. What do you believe might be at the root of that?
There's a number of factors that are here, and it's been happening over the past couple of years, and it's almost every time you look down at your phone, you hear, and there was one this morning, another notification of another death on the roads. It almost reminds me of when we had COVID. I think that there needs to be more accountability in road safety in Ireland. I know there's a review underway at the moment of the Road Safety Authority. I would hope that there's international members on that and that we're benchmarking ourselves against international peers. And then on that, when I talk to researchers across Europe and across the world, indeed, about how they look at road safety, they have access to very, very good road safety or road accident data. We do not have that in Ireland. We haven't had that in Ireland for almost a decade. The Road Safety Authority do a conference every year, and more often than not, there's never Irish research presented at it because the data isn't given to us.
And what's the advantage of having that data?
Having that data would, first of all, from a research perspective, be able to find trends and why accidents are happening, where they're happening, those types of things. But then at the local authority, even the local authorities don't have the level of data that they require, that they could find accident hotspots. They could make changes to junctions, make changes to turning movements, make changes to lighting, all of these kind of basic things that could improve our roads. And the other thing, since the last time we've had this data, how we move around our country has completely changed. We've had COVID. There are bigger cars. There's more SUVs. There's more people walking and cycling. So we need fresh data to see why and how these accidents are happening so we can report back, because good policy is based upon good science and good research.
The engineers would say that we have reached a threshold with road deaths, and if you want to see a serious improvement, you need to build more motorways because that's the safest way to travel.
That would be the safest way to travel, and all the data shows that between intercities. But what I would say is what we do need more of is enforcement, and we do need more behavioural change. What we're not seeing, you know, the motorways and where these accidents are happening is unlikely to ever have a motorway on that type of road. We do need our roads to be safe, and we have to always make sure that happens. Having the data would enable us to show when roads aren't safe and how we can make them safer.
All right. Brian Caulfield, thank you very much for joining us this morning.